G'day and welcome back to the Shed of Basketball Truth. It is Studio 3 for this amazing NBL 1 North slash a little bit of NBL. Basically round 5, a little bit of a wrap up, and a very special guest also joining us later in the show as well. But I do have Matt McIntyre rejoining me before we get to our very special guest from the Salties, which will be very exciting, Macca.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Yeah, just someone to chew the fat about the upcoming big game the Caps have against the Salties this weekend and get a bit of insight as to how they're traveling.
Yeah, well, obviously they're the Salties are one of the 10 teams across the NBL 1 Australia. Across all the divisions that are still undefeated. We've got 3 of them right here in the Coles Express NBL 1 North, of course, being Salties on the women's side of the draw and Northside Wizards as well. And over on the men's, we've still got the Switch after a few results this week. Didn't go the way of some of those teams that were still undefeated coming into round 5. Some of them didn't get through round 5. Obviously, it's very tricky, and it's not the be-all and end-all because, obviously, going undefeated in the regular season don't mean a thing if you don't win that championship ring. But it's still, as it goes on, it definitely means more and more as we go deeper and deeper into the season.
Yeah, absolutely. These teams are coming down to crucial games, and we're getting into the meat of the season now. So you don't want to be dropping games, and the teams up the top are probably, especially in the women's on the women's ladder, the teams up the top are definitely looking very strong and extending away from a bit of the pack. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next few rounds.
Yeah, well, that's the kicker. As we get deeper and deeper into the season, those teams really start to develop into almost tiers, your pyramid cake style tiers. And it's getting spicy at the top. So, yeah. But before we jump full blown into the Coles Express NBL 1 North Round 5 wrap up, let's have a look at the NBL and some of the free agency signings that we've been seeing coming through. Ben Ayer. He's going to be taking his talents down to Southwest Metro Phoenix, coming off the back of a really not a bad season, coming off the bench there in different situations, and had himself a couple of really solid games at different times. So he's going to Southeast Melbourne Phoenix on a 2-year deal, which, best of luck to him heading down there. Junior Madut. Tasmania Jack Jumpers, 2-year deal there. Another signing. They've been a little bit quiet, it seems, and from different whispers and things you hear, it sounds like they're potentially haven't been able to sign necessarily the pieces that they've been chasing just yet. So that it's very tough. Third album, as they go into year 3, there's a lot of expectation from their fan base because they've been able to come and give it such a hot start that obviously they want to get it right, but tricky situation.
Yeah, from what I've been reading, a bit of trying to get Milton Doyle re-signed and signed on the dotted line, but having a little bit of trouble, just not quite getting the deal done yet.
Yeah, well, Pete Hooley came out this week and basically said, really needs to be a priority for them. And it's hard to disagree. It's really hard to disagree after the season, really solid season he had for them. So look, but these sort of signings have to be on a two-way situation. Both team and player need to agree. And if it's not a right fit for one, it won't be a right fit for the other. That's just, we've learned that in the NBL over and over again. So But Keanu Rasmussen has signed as an Adelaide 36ers DP. So those spots are starting to fill up. And, of course, Shannon Scott has signed, on a two-year deal, which, again, Bullets actually signing people to some two-year deals, I am liking. We sort of got to the, over the last sort of year or two, it feels like we've just been one and done, especially with imports, and or one-on-one contracts that weren't always necessarily picked up, apart from, you know, your Cadiz and other contracts like your Sobeys and, of course, your Baines. It felt like we were just stretching these one-year deals, and obviously it came to a head this year. We were, at the end of the season, early doors, we only really had, Sobey and Baines returning. Obviously, there's lots of other pieces been added now, and things are starting to look good. And I'm okay with a middling sort of roster. I can, as a fan, I can live with a middling roster because I'm a sucker. I'll buy in and we'll have hope and, all these sorts of things. And as long as there's game wins along the way, I'm down. Like, that works for me. I can live with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And they need a bit of continuity. The pieces that they've sort of added in have just, they haven't gelled what it's looked like. So hopefully they've picked some pieces up and the players that they've signed and the Sobey and Baines, they can get them on the same, with the new coach as well, get them on the same playing, same mentality, and on the same reading from the same book, so to speak, when it comes to what style they're going to play, what are their emphasis is going to be on defense, offense, and just basically a bit of team camaraderie. Because the one thing looking at from outside in is that in the last year, there was times when you'd look at the team and just think, not really sure if they're all on the same page or all singing the same hymn here. They just seem to be a little bit disjointed. So hopefully that's the first thing the new coach has addressed. And that's why we're seeing some of these two-year contracts, just to maintain a bit of continuity.
Yeah, definitely. So, look, that's going to wrap up NBL 1 free agency for this week. Obviously, we'll let you know when some other signings and things are dropping our way. But, look, it's been a spicy little free agency so far. There's been... it hasn't been the full NBA trade deadlines crazy situation or anything like that. But as far as NBL free agencies, we've had lots of movement. So some big, some middling signings, and some rosters really starting to fill out, and able to get some little bit of a gauge on how teams are going to potentially look, which. This far out, as a fan, that's always nice to have a bit of an idea as to what's, what the future holds. And this free agency has allowed that for sure. So, all right, let's jump in some Coles Express NBL 1 North. Let's start with the champagne, as we always do. Let's start over on the ladies' side of the draw. And look, no surprises in the first game of round 5. Logan Thunder took care of business and, at home against Red City, got this one done. Solid effort by Logan Thunder, turning it around. Difficult weekend last week, got this one done fairly convincingly. They're obviously going to be very happy, especially with their Michaela Cann performance, who... balled out across the weekend, as we've almost become just totally accustomed to her doing.
Yeah, and Red City having a bit of a tough old season, but they're in a bit of a rebuilding phase. They've got a lot of new players there this year, so, and a lot of players they're all quality players, but some of their star players from last year who've gone on to some other teams. So they're in a little bit of a rebuilding phase, and unfortunately just came into a red hot Logan team who just put up 98 points in a game. That's cooking. That's really getting them up and knocking them down. So just a tough night.
Yeah, well, As we talked about with Michaela Cairn, 27-7-8-1. Excuse me. Absolutely balling. And yeah, obviously, you know, seeing Michaela Cairn get back to this kind of just level of play is going to be a huge worry for everybody not in a Logan jersey or a Logan fan, because she's an absolute baller, obviously. But Cairns hosted the Salties in the next game. And look, Salties, again, able to get this one done. And they were able to keep their unbeaten streak alive, obviously. Solid game, as we've come to expect from Jacinta Swain and, of course, Penina Davidson. But Darwin just doing it by committee. You know, McGregor, Brooke, Porter and Bowman all in the starting five there in, you know, in double figures. Nesbitt, no slouch, you know, just had a few less points in this one. And, you know, Darwin Salty's really come with the thunder from the bench as well. What have we got? Third, 25 points off their bench. That's tough. That's incredibly tough to outdo. And, you know, Cairns were only able to get 10 off there. So solid performance from the Salties, keeping their unbeaten run alive. And, of course, that's that difficult road trip where you got Cairns one night and Townsville the next. Always tricky.
Yeah, and, you know, Darwin, in their performances, you go back through their performances, they've remained unbeaten but haven't always blown teams out. So this is a bit of a confidence builder for them, because they've done enough just to be winning, but this is a strong performance. This is something they can sort of say, yeah, this is, we know we can go out there and beat, you know, and win this comp and beat every team in the comp, but sometimes we can go out there and flex our muscles. And I think that's what they did in this one, and they won pretty easily.
Yeah, next one down the line was Rocky being beaten in the end by Metro Pirates. Rocky came back at them late, almost got it done, just came up 3 points shy in the end in a really low-scoring affair, to be honest, 48-51. But, excuse me, yeah, look, solid performance again. By Bowman. Like, she's been really balling out for Rocky this year. And
yeah,
and of course,
3 points, 6 rebounds. That's a yeah. Hell of a game.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, consistently doing that. And of course, on the other side, you know, for Metro, you've got almost always that double-double that's coming from your Leah Scott and, you know, Lulu helping out as well. And, you know, solid performance all round, but Metro coming away with the Chockies for the final Friday night game.
Yeah, and once again, two teams that really used the 7 players. So both teams, Rocky only used 7 players during the game, and then you got Southwest Metro who also only used the 7 players. So, you know, they rely heavily on those starters, and they need that point production. And yeah, in this case, Southwest Metro just able to scrape over the line.
Getting it done. Moving on to Saturday's games. And we've got Townsville Flames. They hosted the Darwin Salties. And look, it's always tricky when you try and that back-to-back road trip is always tough. Yeah, just always tough when you've got a Steph Reid who plays 40 minutes. You know, how are you going to stop that? Darwin Salties able to get it done. Again, through that team effort that they do, put up those shared points when everyone's rolling, everyone's balling. You know, your assist numbers go up, your points go up, and they're really solid rebounders. So, you know, getting it done, drawing out the win on the road, getting it done in Townsville by 3 points. Sounds very similar to a certain Brisbane Capitals team who are very close to that total and difference at the end of their game up there as well. So, look, Townsville obviously going to be disappointed after their really great southern road trip. 3-0 from that road trip, go back home and unable to get it done against the Salties, but Salties have got to be coming through this one just absolutely on fire and ecstatic about getting the W. And the way they share the ball is really marvelous, but only 3 points from their bench in this one for the Salties. So they were actually outscored in this one from their bench by the Townsville Flames. We're able to get 8, but again, Townsville went super tight with their 7 players. Darwin stretched it out, sprinkled a couple of minutes here or there, but there was a genuine, there's still that genuine effort to stretch their minutes out across more players.
Yeah, a bit of a theme here with the Darwin Salties is that they do it by committee in that starting five. And, yeah, like you said, Mal, well spread out with throughout all the stat lines. So, yeah, hence why they're able to scrape out that victory over the Flames. Interesting to see, if you just having a quick look, Townsville only got to the free throw line 3 times in the game. So not either very clean D being playing by Darwin, which I assume is what it was, or just perhaps not that aggressive on the floor from the Flames, or they're just shooting it from outside. But yeah, only 3 attempts. You don't often see that.
No, and especially hometown refs and all that kind of stuff. Like a couple extra calls in your own venue. That sort of thing, but no, not this time. So, look, interesting stat line. Next game, Northside Wizards took on Rip City. And, look, Northside were able to get this one done. Northside seemed to be able to just they're doing things a little bit differently. They're still doing it by committee and things, but they are genuinely rolling through the Coles Express NBL 1 North at the moment. And unfortunately for Rip City, they got hit with this little bit of a freight train that is becoming the Wizards. It's solid performances from your Courtney Woods and your AJ Johnson. Really, really putting up those big numbers AJ is. And she looks incredibly strong and just looks very difficult to either take on defensively or when she gets the rock and starts driving towards and through the paint. So, look, again, we've talked about them all season. They're the ones that really they're shaping up to be that team to beat thus far. But, how often does a team go through the Coles Express NBL 1 North undefeated? Well, it's never happened. So we'll have to wait and see, but they are looking incredibly hot so far. And Rip City just unable to answer in this one.
Yeah, again, hard to beat the Wizards. They're strong across the park. They've got some good players that come off the bench for them as well. So they're well covered with depth as well. They have strong leadership in that team. So I can't see, just looking at their schedule, I hard to predict when their first loss will be, and it may not come. Mal, you might be right. This might be a first and they can get through the whole season, but don't want to jinx them. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Indeed. All right. Caps, Phoenix, 97 points to 65 in the end, the Brizzy Caps. Big game performances by a couple of the Caps players. I thought Court Midap, though, the way she absolutely caught fire from range. She had, 18, 5, 9, 3 steals in the end. But the way she, as I said, absolutely caught fire from range, shot 5 from 8, 62.5%. And I swear at least 4 of those were in a row. Like, she just absolutely caught fire. And it wasn't just the same spot. Like, there was a couple of different spots around the court, which was really impressive from her. Obviously something we've talked about on the show and everything before around court and how she can just sometimes she's absolutely stroking it and it's lights out, look out. But when you have a performance like that from Courtney and you've got Cabillo and Maya Lloyd, who seem to be almost tag teaming, a little bit like Tanner Krebs and Jason Kadee were last year. It definitely feels like in different times, different quarters, each of them will go on the run and the other one will just feed them the rock. Like if the other one's hot, the rock is going their way. Like there's doesn't seem to be much ego when you're watching it. It's just whoever's got the better look, the better shot, the better option, bang, that's where the ball goes.
Yeah, and like I said, well, we were commentating at this game and it was just the offense was just cooking. They run a great team offense. They like to do a lot of pick and roll stuff. They're very good at the Caps women at breaking down into a two-man game. And then their stars in Maya Lloyd, who had 23 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists and 5 steals. Like, that's an incredible stat line. And then still got from the rest of their team just bits and pieces, and 20 points from Abby Cabello, 13 points from Stephanie Collins. Like, they're really just in a really nice spot at the moment, and it's all about just maintaining that moving forward. But they also run a very deep bench and get a lot of production off their bench and don't lose anything when they need to sub someone out for a break or if they're in foul trouble. So at the moment, if you're Coach Dean Asplund, you're pretty happy with how you're sitting, and it'll be a good test this weekend when they take on the Salties, just to really test and against, you know, the teams up the top end. It's going to be a great clash.
Yeah, and I think it really, like, there's a lot of comparisons that can be made about both these teams. Like, they both do it a little bit by committee. They both went on, you know, the North road trip and came away with 2 wins. Like, you know, they've got similar, there's definitely similar styles, and they both definitely have similar aspirations. So how's it, you know, how is this thing going to shake out? You know, look, it's going to be spicy basketball. I genuinely can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game.
Definitely will. All right, let's head now to the heartbreaker from Runaway Bay. The Meteor 8 North Gold Coast Seahawks went down 62-63 to Logan Thunder in the end. Heartbreaker in the end. Always tough when you have these really tight games. But someone's got to win, someone's got to lose, you know, all that. Michaela Cann absolutely came out, played her absolute skin off. And Logan Thunder got themselves into all sorts of trouble across the first 3 quarters. And then in the fourth, just brought it home. 27 points to 7 in the fourth quarter to just get this one done in the end.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, they had the back-to-back, so was it a little bit of a hangover from the first game? But like you said, it took them 3 quarters to get going, but to get up, put more, 20 extra points on them in the fourth and win by 1, that's just showing some good mettle, that when you need it, team was able to come together and pull it out of the fire. So very, very, very lucky for Logan to get away with that. You know, unlucky for North Gold Coast, but they have to be looking at what they're executing in the fourth quarter and maybe make some adjustments moving forward with that.
Third last game of the round, obviously with the public holiday on Monday, no Sunday games this week. So 86 took on 80, Southern District Spartans, able to get it done over Gold Coast in the end of this one. Another super solid performance from Southern Districts. Again, you know, led the way. Matty Allen led the way. But, you know, always gets help from the starting five. Wasn't a whole heap of points that came from the bench in this one. Basically the same amount of points. It was 11 and 10 from the bench for both teams in the end. But yeah, just just Southern Districts able to get it done, you know, with some very big performances from their starting five, but closed it out and locked in another win for Southern District Spartans, despite the huge 29-16 point game from Moira over there at the Gold Coast.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a huge offensive production and crashing the boards there by Ariana Moira. But, just Southern Districts just having too much from their starters. And Madeline Allen, she's an absolute superstar in this league and in the WNBL. So, able to get the job done for the Spartans.
All right, last one, Ipswich Force getting up over Red City Roar in a 23-point, little bit of a demolition. But look, as we talked about, Red City having a tough year. Force just got this one done. Nice, really solid win. Led every quarter and able to close out. And you know, some big performances from 20 piece from Meg Essex. Cunningham with a 24-12 over there for Red City. Excuse me. But yeah, just too solid from the Force in that one.
And Alison Gorrell had the trip dub, 16 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. So that's quite a nice little night out.
Who doesn't love a trip dub, right?
Mm.
And then last one, Mackay. Mackay hosted the South West Metro Pirates and the Meteorettes. Got that one done too. 16-point W in the end for Mackay, which really snapped a little bit of a – they really had a tough, tough triple header Anzac round the week before. So getting this W would definitely make things feel at least just a little bit nicer for them coming into the weekend. Solid performances from Dale Babongi. Babongi had an 18-15 rebound game. Absolutely huge. Solid performance off their bench, which Mackay always, that they definitely go deep into their bench at different times. Sometimes they're absolutely forced to, just with foul trouble and things like that. But this time Mackay able to get this one done and send Southwest Metro back to Brizzy with just the one W for their road trip.
Yeah. And we saw it when Mackay played the women's Caps team. The Meteorettes, Davida Dale had a little bit of an off night, but you could see what sort of talent she had. She was just incredible, had some silky smooth handles and obviously got it cooking in this game and was able to bounce back to a bit of form, which is good to see.
Alrighty, so let's have a quick look at the women's top of the table. Northside Wizards, no surprises, 6-0 there at the top. Just behind them, Darwin Salties, 5-0. Just behind them, Brizzy Caps with 5-1. Southwest Metro, just behind them in 5-2. So that, that second game of that back-to-back, really could have propelled them up into third, but they're still in that top four. Rocky, 4-2 on the season. Gold Coast, and now we're into the teams that are 50-50. So at 500, Gold Coast at 500, 3-3. Logan at 3-3. Southern Districts at 3-3. Cairns, 3-4. They drop all the way back to ninth place. So that's the difference between that one game. Sixth equals sixth, basically, and ninth on the ladder. Then you got Ipswich Force, 2-3. Rip City, 2-3, Townsville, 3-5, and then Mackay Meteorites, 2-4. Meteorite North, Gold Coast Seahawks, 1-4, Sunshine Coast, 1-5, and of course, Red City. Believe the only team in the Coles Express NBL 1 North, still chasing that first win for the season on the men's or women's draw. So, yeah, look. It's starting to really get spicy. I think two more rounds and we'll really see this layer cake, the tiers really start to break down. But even already, we're going to see I just predict that we're going to see a really interesting playoff race, obviously at the top, but also towards that in and around that 8-9, you know, 7-8-9-10 space. I think that's going to be really spicy come the end of the season.
Yeah, yeah, and battling away some of the teams, and you can see there's a little, still there's a little bit of cream rising to the top at the moment. But will it stay that way? Will, you know, injuries and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see this sort of mid-season is where you really start to see teams flex and either double down and start to pull away at the top, or sometimes they come back because the other teams just start being able to match up a bit better against them. So yeah, interesting part of the season.
Definitely is. All right, let's jump over to the men's side of the draw. All right, men's side of the draw for the Coles Express NBL 1 North. Again, a little bit spicy, a little bit spicy. We've got the Logan Thunder came out and, look, gave a little bit, not too much, but a little bit of a touch up to old Red City Roar. Solid performances all round from Logan. When they're really rolling, they'll really dip into that bench and they'll get good production. But look, 39 points and 11 rebounds from Yuk Dang. Hard to go past such a dominant effort like that. And that's why he is the Footlocker NBL 1 official player of the round there. Big, big, solid performance from him.
Yeah, that's huge. And the Logan, just like I've said it before, I said it again, they've got such a strong guard contingency with Sean Bruce, Boston Maslin, Rasmus Bach. So they're on any given night, they can beat any team in this comp. So interesting to see. No Mitch Creek there, so he might be out injured or resting, but they've got a strong starting five. And a pretty deep bench as well. So, yeah, I like the looks of Logan. As a sneaky, I like Logan because they're currently, I think they're about, probably about the sixth or seventh spot, aren't they, on the ladder, somewhere around there. So I like them for where they're, I like them as a team. If I was picking an outside chance this early on, I'd be saying Logan. But have to wait and see how the season pans out.
Yeah, I think you're after Mitch Young.
Yeah, that's it. Sorry.
Yep, not Mitch Craig. He's over in South America at the
moment. Right.
Although, if Logan could pull that signing off.
Sorry, yeah. Mitch.
I do get the feeling they'd have to basically trade away the washing machine and everything, like Jackie Moon style. Give it all up. Yeah, moving on to the next game, though. Cairns Marlins. Took care of Darwin. Took care of Darwin, 90-73. Tricky game. It's always tricky when you go into that Cairns court. It's, you know, the colours on the court are a little bit off, the lines are a little bit squiffy. But Cody Statman, huge one in this one, 36-pointer. Whereas for the Salties, all they could really get done was Deba George. He was the high watermark. Technically tied for the high watermark with Jerron Jameson, Deba George, Malawach, and McDonald all scoring 12. Doing it by a little bit by committee, but unfortunately not strong enough. And the real telling one for this one, for me, was in that 3-point percentage. Salty's got up 36 shots from three and only shot at a clip of 25%, whereas on the other side of the mark, Cairns were able to get up 26 and shot at 54%. So they put up 26, they scored 14, Salty's put up 36 and only scored 9. Rather tough. Yes, Cairns did get to the free throw line twice as much, but I think for mine, Salty's kind of just came into this one off shooting night. It's tough to do. Tough place to just plug straight in and, you know, really fire off really well. But yeah, Debra George only shot, I believe it was, one from 15, I want to say, from three, from memory. No, I apologize, two from 15, which is only 13%, which is way lower than his normal. So, look, you know, let's just chalk that one down to a bad night for the Salties. You know, they're not going to shoot at that sort of that low clip, you know, moving forward. They're going to shoot at a much higher clip than that, you'd have to think, for the rest of the season. Just a bad night, and unable. That's now two they've dropped against Cairns.
Yeah, and yeah, you're right. Sometimes you just have those bad nights. Cairns, they've obviously got a sharp shooter in Jonah Antonio, and he went 4 from 6 from deep. So he, tough to go into Cairns and try to win one, but especially when you have an off shooting night. So yeah, look forward to the next game, Darwin. See how they match up against the Caps there next weekend.
Yeah, look, should be very interesting because obviously Caps season has not started anywhere near where they wanted to. And even Salties, I could almost guarantee they're going to be coming into that game thinking that they've dropped some games that they could have picked up, just like the Capitals have. Still in very different positions as it is, because Salties are rocking in with obviously more wins than the Caps. But yeah, it'll be very interesting and telling for what's going to happen later on the season, because this is, I believe, their only matchup this year. So it's, you know, you can drop one when you've got to play them twice, but this one, it's a different story. They've only got one, so it's all going to be on the line. Next game, South West Metro Pirates got this one done in an emphatic way over the Rockets. Cleaned their clock a little bit out in Rocky. Let's keep it rolling on that one. And then, of course, very next day, Darwin goes into Townsville and was able to get it done. Very different shooting night, very different percentages across the board for Darwin. Able to get it done at a much higher clip. You know, even Debra George that night put up 14, but you know, shot 6, so over 40%. You know, from three, Malawat shot 66%. Some other players put it away a little bit as well. Even though McDonald didn't have such a great shooting night as a team, they were just better from three.
It just goes to show you how easy it is when you have an off shooting night. Sometimes the next team you play, the other team can have an off shooting night. And Townsville went 2 of 12. Sorry,
2 of 12. Yeah,
16%.
You know, so yeah, Salties were able to shoot it at a 37% clip, much better than the night before. Still got up 41. So they're obviously going to be one of those teams not afraid to jack it up, not afraid to, you know, shoot their shot, if you will. But yeah, if some days it's not going to go, and some days it's going to middle, and there's going to be other days where they're going to blow teams off the court.
Yeah, they get on fire. Yeah, watch out, because they obviously don't have much of a conscience of where they shoot it from, so they're going to get them up, green light. But yeah, this night, unlucky Townsville. You're just on the end of a. They probably came off that previous night thinking we're not going to shoot like that again, and they didn't. And they came out on fire and knocked them down.
Indeed.
Going to shoot. So
yep, they sure will. Next one, a little bit of a, not necessarily a surprise, but when I saw this one, had to go back for a rewatch. And Andrew White III knocked the game-winning shot down with clock then stopped and 2 point something left on the clock. Able to get this one done, 92-91 over Rip City, who just welcomed back Kuat Noi, who had a 34-15 5-2-1 game. So, look, certainly not bad, but just unable to get it done against a Wizards team that just stuck around and wouldn't say no.
Yeah, and what a good, like, have a guy like Kuat Noi to come back and they've already got Matt Kenyon there, who's been playing well. The Rip City, they took the L on this one, but they've got a very strong lineup. Moving forward, they're going to be a team to watch. Northside, we knew how good they were. We saw them live in their first match of the season, second match, sorry. So they're a strong team, and they've got a very, very deep team. So they're able to get the job done there. So that would have been a very good matchup. And obviously two really good teams that shoot at a high clip. 3-point percentage wise, Wizards shot at 55%, and the Rip City not as good, only 4 from 21, but doing a lot more inside. So just the balance between those two teams, and the 3-point shooting team was able to get the job done.
Yeah, and look, you know, Rip City, they've got a little bit of a unique problem in the fact they've got a get Kuatnoi and all these other places, all these other really high powered pieces back in, get them to regel, see how they fit the best. Obviously it's not going to be too difficult. Most of them were here last year, but you know, there's a lot of minutes that need to be, you know, shared between some rather high powered pieces here, and getting that just right in time for the playoffs is going to be crucial for such a high powered roster.
Absolutely. Yep.
Next game, Oilers, the Capitals, Sunshine Coast, Phoenix game. And this one, well, I'd like to say it was the Tim Sung game, but this was the Him Sung game. As his roommate put it, this was almost a coming out party for Mr. Tim Sung. 19-5, 3 assists, 5 steals. That's right, you heard, 5 steals and a tearaway dunk to get this one done, but more importantly, had the steal at the end of the game, snatched the ball, defensive steal, and got it done for his team through his defensive work rather than his two-handed dunk work, which was, look, it was timely. It definitely sealed the deal for the Capitals, and they were able to get out of there with their first win of the season.
Yeah, great game by the Caps. Just were able to – they've been in, like we've said before, they've been in every game they've played in so far, but just sometimes unable to get over that hump in the last quarter. But this game they were able to close it out, got tight, but they still stuck to their processes. And like you said, Tim Sung came up with a clutch steal as well at the end, able to seal the game. And big games from the likes of Trevor Lates, who was knocking down threes early, rebounding well as well. And then Matthew Johns as well. He played his part. He does really well. They're currently just a little bit limited with their guards, having a few injuries to Lockie Dent and Stoddart and the likes. So Matty Johns steps up and does a little bit of facilitating at the top of the key, the big man, and done really well. Had himself 12 points, 5 rebounds and 4 assists. A couple of big blocks in there as well. So good performance by the Brisbane Caps. But Sunshine Coast, not to be disheartened. They've got a really strong lineup. Bit of an off-shooting night. But still, they're bigs in Jansen and Kayla. There's some strong bodies they have. And you can see them giving a lot of trouble to a lot of teams, and when they're knocking down shots and it spreads the key, they're going to have even more open space to deal with. So a little bit of a poorer percentage shooting night from the Sunshine Coast, just able to allow Brisbane to play a bit more inside and double up on some of their bigs, and got them the job in the end, which has got the job done in the end, which is great to see the Caps get a win on the board.
Indeed it was. All right, next couple we'll fly through a little bit quicker. North Gold Coast Seahawks, just unable to get it done against Logan Thunder, who just had a bit of a roll on this weekend, 80-92. Southern District Spartans had their clock cleaned a little bit by the Gold Coast Rollers, but still, Madronga, 34.3. 3 rebound, 1 assist, 3 steal game. Very solid. And of course, who? Jason Kadee and Cam Thew, obviously having a big one, and Blanchfield as well. So
yeah, the big three there in Kadee, Krebs, and Blanchfield going to be exciting to watch just over the as they gel together over the next few games.
Yeah, definitely. You tag Cam Thew into that as well, but Blanchfield, Kadee, and Thew combining for 73 points. Three players, 73 points. Wowzers. If only every team could have production from their starter, three of their starting five like that. Wowzers. Right, Red City, unable to stop the juggernaut that is the Ipswich Force at the moment. They just keep on rolling through everybody they play at the moment. Not necessarily blowing everybody out. Like this one, it was only Ipswich were only able to get up by 10 in this one. But, again, remain undefeated, and we'll see how long that can last. Mackay, look, they got done in this one by the Metro Pirates. They took their first L of the season. So, tough one. Still a 32.4 rebound, 4 assist by Isaac White, friend of the show. But, Metro just able to get this one done and close it out for what, look, would have definitely been a difficult road trip.
Yeah, great game by LP too. Lamar Patterson had 26 points and he's coming into a little bit of form, and the more games he gets under his belt, the stronger he gets. So, yeah, watch out. He'll start putting up some big numbers coming in the next few games, I bet.
Yeah, and look, Benny Volkman, former cap, 17-10 in this one. So double-double there as well. So, yeah, look, we talked about South West Metro Pirates at the start of the season potentially being that team who can just come out and just take a game. And, they were able to do that over Mackay at home, which... Tricky, because obviously they rolled through the first four rounds and they rolled through that Anzac round rather aggressively. But just goes to show almost anyone is beatable. Let's try that. So Mackay have now been beaten, and the number of unbeaten teams in the men's side goes to just one in Ipswich Force. But let's have a quick look at the standings on the men's side of the draw. Obviously, we've got Ipswich Force at the top, still undefeated, 5-0. Just behind them, number two spot, Logan Thunder, 5-1. Mackay, 5-1. Obviously, that L they took to South West Metro Pirates has dropped them one place. Gold Coast Rollers, 4-2. They're still up there, still in that hunt. And Northside and then Rip City. Obviously, they got to think they would have been obviously reversed. Had that Andrew White the third shot not gone in, but it did. Darwin Salties still hanging around in the top eight, sitting in seventh with 3-2. North Gold Coast Rollers 3-2 as well. Sunshine Coast Phoenix just outside the eight with shooting at that 500 mark. Southwest Metro Pirates just a game behind, tied there with Cairns. And then an extra loss in the L column is Townsville Heat. In 12th, Red City, Brizzy Caps with their win come up one place. Southern Districts in 15th, and Rocky, do apologize, Rocky still sitting on a bagel. I thought they'd already gotten their win, first win of the season, but looks like no dice for them. And Red City Raw on the women's side, still waiting for their first W. But look, it's getting more spicy and the tiers are starting to develop over on this side. Obviously, you've got Switch out on top, undefeated. Got to think Logan, Mackay, Gold Coast just in there behind them. Rip City with some things to build in, but Northside, Rip, Darwin, Gold Coast, and then who else is going to be in that 5-8 sort of space moving through the next few rounds. We'll just have to wait for a little bit more Coles Express NBL at one action until we find out, mate.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's getting, yeah. The teams are, it's looking like Ipswich is obviously the team to beat, but as each game goes by, you think, like in the women's division, you think, can they go all the way without losing one? Because they really haven't looked too pressed at the moment. But like you said, there's some high-powered teams out there, and on any given night, they could knock them off. So I think it's highly competitive, and it'd be interesting. I think the Ipswich Force have a couple of tough games coming up in Rip City and the whatnot. So that's going to be a good game coming up in a few weeks. We'll see who's if they're still undefeated after some of these tough games.
Indeed, indeed. All right. Well, mate, thank you. Thanks, as always, for joining me here at Ball Don't Lie.
Pleasure, mate. Glad to come on again. And, wait to see what happens this weekend with all the big games in the NBL 1. Hopefully we see some crackers.
That Ball Don't Lie
never does.
All right, Ball Don't Lie listeners. As promised, we've got an absolute baller here. Pro athlete, international star, and some would also say a triple-double collector, but a crucial piece of the Darwin Salties playoff aspirations, Aaron Bowman. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Mal, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
No, thank you. All right, well, look, let's jump straight in. Let's start where we start with all of our guests. Where did your basketball playing journey begin? Obviously, for most Australians, that's our junior representative club, but for Americans, it's always a slightly different story.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't have that club fixture going on in the States. So if your parents decide they like basketball, then you end up playing when you're very young. That's what happened. My mom and dad loved basketball, so they put me in some sports, and the one that really just stuck was basketball. I loved playing, I loved competing, and I think my brother is about a year older than me, and he was so much better than me. I just wanted to beat him so bad. So I think that's where the passion and love came from, is just the competitive spirit that happens in basketball. And it started young, and for some reason I stuck with it. I love it.
Nice. Yeah, I've got that same brotherly sort of situation in my family. Unfortunately, just between you and me, my little brother was actually able to run my career down. But that's okay. That's just part of life. That's part of life. Don't tell anybody.
All right. I won't. I think he'd love to hear that, though.
Oh, I'm sure he would. I'm sure he would. After high school, you went on to Three Rivers Community College, and you were named as the NJCAA second team All-American and ranked nationally 11th in steals. What was it like to be a nationally ranked thief?
For some reason, I was blessed with these 6'4" wingspan on a 5'11" person. So I think by my length, sometimes getting in passing lanes, being able to clip balls that other players can't do, is the reason I was in the 11th ranked anyway. It was just, I hate to say it, but it's my arms. It has nothing to do with my ability, but, it was awesome. Going from high school, a small town high school, and then going to a junior college where first year, you're making an impact through that college. So, even being ranked is a blessing, you know, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And then after that, you transitioned to Southeast Missouri Redhawks. Now, what was the, for those Australian listeners who aren't really, you know, across that collegial athlete level, what was that transition like for you as you went across? And do you think that helped when you eventually became a professional athlete?
Yeah, so I went to junior college for 2 years, and how it works in America is you can go to a 2-year or 4-year outside of high school. And the benefit of going to a 2-year first sometimes can open you up to opportunities after those 2 years that you wouldn't have had if you signed with a Div 2 or a Div 3 team. Mm-hmm. That was my main goal going to a junior college, was to get an opportunity to get to a higher level of basketball after 2 years of just getting my game a little bit better. But I always love to tell the story. So when I was in junior college, I actually got kicked out of junior college. Nice. Which just, yeah, you know, just trying to be a rebel. There's curfew violations. It was all these things. And then something happened. And I remember blaming everybody else for it. I just was you know, just down in the dumps thinking, man, if this wouldn't happen, this would happen. And I remember just learning this like valuable lesson, that it was my fault and to take accountability. Mm-hmm. And I remember just like levels of shame coming off my shoulders, and I wasn't going to play basketball after those 2 years. Cause you know, you get kicked out of something, you kind of just want to stop doing that thing. And, mm-hmm. A lot of supportive people around me helped me get back to it. So the transition was even harder. It was, having to fight to show people that you're not the same punk kid. I like got kicked out of junior college in the first place. And, a local team, Southeast Missouri, picked me up as just kind of a charity case is what one of the coaches told the other coach at one point, like that I was supposed to sit at the back of the bench and, you know, get some fans there because I was local. And I said, no, absolutely not. I'm not doing that. And proved myself enough to start the game. So at first I was supposed to not even get a minute. And then I started each game after the fifth game. And yeah, the biggest thing with junior college to the 4 year colleges is that I got to play every year that I did play. A lot of students will come in, start to play and realize the first through 3 years, you usually don't get any playing time until you're a junior senior. So I got the benefit from going junior college to the 4 year as playing and getting to play basketball the whole time. I loved it. Division I is very tough and super hard, but super worth it. And you learn discipline, you learn so many lessons. The whole big shebang is basically just, I loved it. It was an awesome transition, and, you know, I wouldn't be the same person if I didn't go through that.
Nice. I love the fact you're also open to the, that idea of talking about, you know, yes, it was my fault. Like I did that's huge. And, I think more junior athletes definitely need to hear that sort of stuff as well. Because sometimes it is.
Yes, yeah. Most times.
If we're being perfectly honest with ourselves, yes, yeah. Alrighty, so after that, you end up playing for the Carlaw Thunder down in the Big V in Victoria in 2018 and 2019. And obviously 2019 was a particularly good season. Taking home MVP, All-Star 5 spots, Golden Hands, which probably, again, something to do with that arm span you were talking about before.
I thought that was a baseball term as well. So I hear it in basketball. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
When you first arrived in Australia, was there a transition to, was there much of a transition to the more Australian sort of playing style, or was it just much of a muchness? Was it what you were used to? Were there any major differences?
Yeah, in college, for one, I was a post player in college and then had to come over and play more of a guard position. So just changing that position was a little bit different. And then Australia actually has different roles sometimes mm-hmm. than America that I wasn't ready for. The free throw lineup, we have 7 people in there. And then in Australia, you only have 6. And I remember lining up for the first time, just standing there, and the ref's looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, standing in my spot. And in Australia, you don't stand in that spot. So I would say the physicality in college is a little bit tougher in a sense that they don't get many calls. Mm-hmm. So you really have to hack somebody to get a call. And just coming over here, physical, you know, they call the big ones, they call some little ones here and there, but you just never get those small little bump calls in America. So having to adjust my defense in that sense, that I can't be riding on somebody super hard. I'd have to like take a step off and make sure I'm playing pretty good defense for that. And yeah, and just the accents as well, having to understand what people are saying.
Be tough, can confirm. Yep.
Yeah, it's the ones that just slur it all together and it's supposed to be a sentence. And I just like, yes, cool. Can you repeat that in an American accent for me? But no, and all in all, I just love being out here. I mean, that's why I'm still out here. But it's a great culture and a great community.
Yeah, definitely. Now, one thing I definitely got to get to the Santa Cruz Warriors, obviously, but I do want to talk to about it more from like, helping some of our listeners, because a lot of people, obviously, it's only the top of the tree that really get to really play at the super high level. And even, you know, after that, sometimes people like myself have to find other avenues to stay connected to basketball,
right,
with the coaching. Right. So with the Santa Cruz Warriors, obviously you're a coaching associate there. what would a game day look like for you in that position, in that role? Obviously, you know, your head coach is in front of the cameras a lot of the time, sometimes mic'd up and different things. People have a rough idea about that position, but obviously it's those other positions down the bench coaching wise. So what would a coaching associate day at the Santa Cruz Warriors game day look for you?
Oh, I love this question. I was in charge of anything you could think of that a coach wouldn't want to handle or deal with. So a lot of film. So I start a day very early. We get there about 2 hours before practice was supposed to start. And we discuss just, you know, all coaches, assistant coaches, coaches associate would just discuss how the day was going to look. And just the things that we were going to focus on, kind of the rules of the day, what our day is going to be lined out as. And we'd go greet all the guys, make sure that they come in and they have all their things. And then we'd go through practice together. The practices were surprisingly super the same every single day. So we'd have these meetings for an hour to discuss what we're going to do in this practice. And it's basically the same thing. They focus on the same three things, which is defense, transition, shooting three pointers. They love shooting three pointers in the Golden State Warriors, obviously. Mm-hmm. But they were shooting all the time, every day, and that's what I was on the court for. So just rebounding, passing, learning. I got to run a couple of drills, which was amazing for me. And then you go home, you'd watch film, you'd get some film together that they put you in charge of. If you had any errands they needed for the boys, like picking up basketballs, it was just all these things to do all day. And by midnight, you're ready to go the next day. So it's you go to sleep, wake up about 6 hours later, and then the next day it's the same thing. So, it was rewarding. It was so rewarding. I can't believe the things I learned about basketball while I was there, though.
Well, that was going to be my sort of follow-up question. Did that whole experience, do you think it made you a more rounded basketball player in that sense? Did it improve your IQ, looking at all that film and those sort of elements from the other side, or did it just make you think I absolutely froth this and every moment is magical?
It was a mixture of both. I remember Steve Kerr, we were associated obviously with the Golden State Warriors. On my birthday, told me happy birthday, Aaron, said my name. And I remember walking up to my my coworkers and being like, hey guys, I'm actually going to quit my job now. It's pretty much fulfilled. So I'll see you guys later. There was magical moments for me meeting Draymond Green, when Klay Thompson came down for the 2 weeks to G League, like we were around him. We were right next to him. We were talking to him. He's playing defense on me at one point. And just things like that, where you're just in awe of these interactions. But then at the same time, you're learning so much about basketball that you never even thought of, because you're at such a high level of basketball. And it's kind of like the junior varsity of the NBA. So at this point, you're learning the things that Steph Curry is learning. You're learning the things that the guys on the bench, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody are learning. And you're just surprised that these things aren't being taught at a lower level. Small things, tiny things that they focused on that you wouldn't even dream of focusing on. I'm learning about basketball, and of course I translated it to my game. There's so many things that I do now as a basketball player. It's almost like I watch my video from last year and think I'm a new person. But yeah, it's such a learning experience, and almost you're around celebrities, you're around people, and it's a dream. It was so cool for those 6 months.
Nice. Awesome. Let's head up north, head to Darwin. Was it much of a culture shock when you first arrived in Darwin and for that inaugural season last year?
Yeah, staying in Melbourne for 3 years, you kind of get that city vibe. I grew up in a small town, so I learned the new city life way, and learning about Australians and Australian culture. And you get up to Darwin, and you don't realize there's just such a beautiful culture just hidden in a part of Australia that, you wouldn't dream of thinking it'd be there. And you get up here and there's beautiful people. Being around the indigenous culture is insane to me. It's wonderful and beautiful. And it's hot every day. Not going to get me wrong. I am sweating 24/7, but I've never been a part of a community like this, from my small town to the city to that it was just, I was pleasantly surprised by the beauty of it.
Nice. Now, obviously, you know, last season didn't quite go to plan. This season started off quite well. The team's made a great start. Obviously, only one of 10 teams across the whole NBL, NBL One Australia, it's still undefeated. Obviously, that's not the goal. But what makes this Salty's women's team so good at the moment? What are the strengths as you see them?
Well, I think this is one of the first teams I've been a part of that is holistically every player makes an impact on the floor. Whether they're on the bench, whether they have the ball in their hands, rebounding, anything you can think of. Everybody knows their roles and everybody's playing their roles so efficiently. We have incredible shooters on the team. Sophie Johnson, Kat McGregor, and Ruby Porter, all three of them can shoot the ball and can drive the ball. And I always bring it back to the Warriors because it was amazing. But what the Warriors do is they have, you know, an all-star five, but Draymond Green's willing to only score 5 points so that he can get it to the shooters, and they're passing and hitting the one more. And it's something that it's the first team I've ever been a part of that actually bought into that. It's like, we're going to pass up good shots for even better shots. And I think that's just what we do. If you just look at our stat line from the last game, everybody scored under 16 points. So, and we still won that game, and it's against Townsville, the reigning champs. And it's just something that I think that is a championship team versus having a good crack at it like we tried last year. So I just think it's just different. It's amazing.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, great weekend of basketball, getting it done against Cairns and Townsville. It's a very tough road trip. Not too many teams get in and out with the two wins like you did, you guys did. But there is a team coming up in your schedule this Saturday night. Full disclosure, it is my home team, the Brisbane Capitals.
Okay.
I do the commentary on there for them, so got to give them a little bit of a love and a bit of a plug sort of thing. But coming into this weekend, obviously, you know, don't want to go throwing shade or anything, but this is obviously a crucial matchup for both teams, almost top of the ladder. Both of you guys are obviously just behind the Wizards. But coming into this weekend, what do you see as the Caps' strengths that you need to sort of not certainly be worried about, but, you know, got to do something about? Where do their strengths lie this weekend?
If you just wanted me to compliment the Brisbane team, you could have just asked. So I will need me to, since that's your. In all honesty, Abby Cabello, a WNBL point guard, hometown is Darwin.
Yeah.
She's going to be a big threat, especially with her speed and her decision making, her defense on the ball as well. Like, we're watching film and we absolutely believe she's going to be a real hard person to stop. But we're going to throw everything at her, even the kitchen sink, to try to stop her as anything we can. But and then we have Stephanie Collins, who's 6'5", and I played with her at Keeler actually.
Yep.
So it's going to be great to see her, but she's got great hands. She's tall. She finishes well around the rim. That's going to be something we're going to have to figure out as well. If doubling is the best or whatever's going to happen. I mean, we're going to try to stop the team as much as possible. And then Maya Lloyd as well. I love her to death. She's one of my friends and she's just tough and almost unguardable. That right hand is so it's such a tough thing to guard. So I think there's such a strong team, and that's why it shows they're 5-1. So it's going to be a really good matchup once they get up here.
Yeah, I think you've got away with that one. You've no shade thrown, just positives. Well done, well done.
You know, I have $1 now.
off it. all right. Look, there's only one real sort of thing we need to talk about before we get to the fast five questions, and that's B Hoops. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so this is a brand I started last year, being up in Darwin area. What I see a lack of, especially in the younger grades of basketball, is just a lack of focus on women's sports, and that's what I'm trying to do is really just try to grab young females in the basketball realm and show them why basketball is so important for the rest of their career, something that they can find a facet and really work hard at to get them successful after. after high school, and we don't see that a lot in this community. So if basketball is something that I can provide for young women, that's what I want to do. So just pass it on. There's no reason to play basketball without passing it on. So it's just a brand to promote mental health, promote women's sports, and, you know, get it started, and hopefully it can help people get past some college and doing the same thing that I'm doing.
Beautiful. So. Paying it forward. I like that. I like that. All right. Well, if you've got a couple of minutes left, we've got our traditional fast five.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Okay. First question. I'll tell you straight out the gate. We always say it's the easy one. It is possibly the hardest one. So we'll knock it over first. Can you give me who is your personal top five players of all time?
Steph Curry.
Yep.
There's in one. Heartbeat. Oh, it. How many am I supposed to do?
Just five. Any position. It's just a purely personal list. But it's amazing about how much insight into a player's mind this five players will actually give. So
and basketball, correct, or any sport?
Oh, hey, if you want to change it up, that's up to you.
I could stick to basketball. I know more of those. Yeah, I would say Steph Curry, mm-hmm. Kelsey Plum. Yep. That is tough. I've got to say Kobe Bryant, mm-hmm. Michael Jordan, and then Tanner Bowman, my brother, who's beat me every single time.
All right. Well, that is a Ball Don't Lie Australia first. No one's ever put their brother in. Well done. Well done.
I have to.
It's
beating me. That's it.
All righty. Question number two, favorite playing number and why?
I've stuck to 12 for most of my career, so I'll pick 12. And I had a friend of mine pass away who was number 12 a while back, so I kind of wear it for her. So,
lovely story. All right, favorite movie?
Not a lot of people have seen it, but it's Yes Man with Jim Carrey.
Yep.
Yeah. So funny, and I love the premise that if you say yes to everything, good things will happen. So, mm-hmm. Not and then at the end it says don't say yes to everything. But
hey, it's a great way to get a room full of people to give you clothes to a charity. So
yeah, exactly. So you've seen it. There we go.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's my
favorite. Nice. All right. So, you know, the Salties obviously do really well this year. Hollywood comes a calling. The Aaron Bowman movie is looking to be made. Who's going to play? Who are you going to choose to play Aaron Bowman if you were to choose someone other than yourself, of course?
Okay. Well, I think I look exactly like Margot Robbie. So if she wants to play me, I'm not going to say no.
Of course not.
Yeah. But her basketball skill might be a little bit less than mine, but, you know, we can make it work. She can do it.
Look, CGI. It's amazing what they can do these days.
There we go.
Favorite pair of kicks of all time? Favorite basketball shoes of all time?
Oh, yeah, I have a pair of Under Armours that are Steph Curry. you know, he's in my heart. So yep. The only reason I know that's my favorite shoe is I bought four pairs of them. So
that sounds like a favorite, yep.
Yes, it is, for sure.
All righty. Technically second last question. If you could go back in time to watch any game in the history of basketball as a spectator, what game would you go back and watch? Can be a personal choice, big name NBA production, local, high school, someone else's game, anything you like.
Well, okay. Yeah, I wish I could have seen Michael Jordan's sick game.
Yep.
It's gotta be one for the books.
Yeah, the flu game / food poisoning, if you believe the last dance. Yep.
Supposedly. Yes.
Yep. Kept that under wraps for like ages though. So, you know.
Yeah, and it ended up being pizza. That's the big secret. I don't think so.
So a bit squiffy on that. Anyway. All right. Look. Lucky last question. Little bit of a toughie, and I probably will need your help with the answer, but who should we have on Ball Don't Lie Australia next?
Oh my goodness, that is a great question. Man, you know Keon Dennis from Southern District.
Keon Dennis. Yeah, he is actually a friend of the show. We have had him on before.
I think he has some funny things to say. So
he definitely does. Can confirm. Yeah. He was very good. Yes. He was very
Every
good.
Time I speak to that kid, he's a hoot. So I would put him on the show in a minute.
Nice. All right, Aaron. Well, look, huge thank you for coming on. Best of luck with the season. Best of luck for Saturday as well. Look, friend of the show.
I know that hurt for you to say, but I'll take it. Thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you very much for your time. At the Capitals, does the ball ever lie, Steph?
Never, ever.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Aaron Bowman, absolute, huge thank you to Aaron for jumping on the show. And that's going to wrap us up here for another week at Ball Don't Lie Australia. I do have Macca and Anthony. They will be coming back next week for a special local card shop of Woolloongabba Crack'em special event. We're finally going to work out. Is this young Macca kid, new kid on the block, can he cut mustard? Can he get it done against the Crack'em King himself? Have to tune in next week to find out. We've got a big hanger box, obviously supplied by local card shop of Woolloongabba. Huge shout out to them as always. But until then, just remember that ball don't lie.